Well, welcome back to the God School. As many of you noticed, last week there was no message. I found it kind of interesting. It seemed I got as many, if not more, responses to no message as to when a message is delivered. Those of you who are listening, right there on your screen, there's a place to make comments. And this is one pastor who wants to hear from the ones who hear the message. I don't say it every week. But not only the messenger, but to those who receive the message, we are all part of this work of God. And as I have said before, I want to hear from you. I chuckled to myself because, as I said, I heard from several people, "Are you all right? Didn't hear a message. What's going on?" Be that as it may, last week there was no message. We have, for the last almost couple of months, been teaching, and as a topic, or from the verse of Scripture, that my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge, have been attempting to put together a story that shows off God and His control, that to the ones that He has called, to the ones He has chosen, that their faith may be strengthened, and included in that, what's the word I want to use? That whole picture of faith, including their confidence. Today, I want to go back, I am going back, to a foundational message of the church. I first was introduced to this message by my pastor, Dr. Gene Scott, a long time ago. This was a message that he taught every year because it was foundational to the men and women having a relationship with God. In one of his messages, one of those messages, you know, he spoke about, you know, being the preacher. And his job was to deliver the message to the people. And he thought after so many years of teaching it that, you know, maybe he had arrived and was exempt from the message. There were oftentimes when I have taught that I said, you know, you're listening into a conversation. You're listening to a conversation between me and God. I need this message. You're the beneficiary recipients of listening in. On this journey, which Christians call the way, there are times when we need to draw out the compass of God's word, that our path may be carried out with a little further understanding. And through that, even joy in this walk. So today, I want to go to a passage in the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. And pull out this compass, this direction setting instrument from God's word. And it opens and it says in the first verse, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. The potter's house. This picture that throughout Scripture God alludes to. He takes some of his toughest to the potter's house. He takes Job, you'll find in the 10th chapter. He takes David in the Psalm 2. He takes Paul in Romans. He takes Zechariah. He takes Isaiah. And he took Jeremiah. Jeremiah, one that we have been giving some concentration to over the last several messages. That one, so tough, stuck in a dungeon, mired in muck, who, to send out the message God was not done with him, sent out and gave orders to buy land when it seemed it was all over for him. But he went and bought land. This he did in hope of God. This he did by confidence in God, by confidence in his promises. So, in this text of this morning, King James Bible says of verse 3, then I went down, or translates, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. This is a poor translation. If you have your Bibles open, which you should cross out that word A and write in his work. The context of proper translation is given in the next verse. And the vessel that he made. This is not some ambiguous work. This was the work of the potter. He knew what he was doing. And it says, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. Our original progenitors, Adam and Eve, who for all intent and purposes, were given everything except one thing, and that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat of that fruit. They didn't trust God, they listened to the father of lies and ate the fruit. And the result was separation from God. The result was being marred in the hands of the potter. The result was all the descendants of Adam and Eve are marred vessels. In the sight of the potter. There are some things that we need to pull out Dr. Scott used what he called the old Keswick style of preaching, of which I was never brought up in. Some preachers do this. They pull out one particular letter and develop a message out of this. In this case, I really like it. You, if you haven't already in your Bibles written this, because I've delivered this message before, you should have four words written. The words being principle, purpose, process, person. In that garden scene, God gave everything. Gave power over everything there was to Adam and Eve. Save one, the tree, of which he instructed them they were not to eat the fruit thereof. What was the principle? Look, I've given you everything, but I'm still the boss. What's the principle? God's the boss. Neither God nor the principle will change. He's the boss. What's the purpose? In the determinate councils of heaven, before the worlds were formed, God said, Elohim, a name of God which is in the plural, and that's why I say determinate councils. He said, let us, another clue to the pluralness of the name, let us make man in our image. But never changing. God's the boss. As I was attempting to prepare for this message, I looked for other places that this relationship between God and us is expressed in this image of the potter and the clay. You'll find it in the Wisdom of Solomon. Open there. You say, that book's not my Bible. Well, that book was in the Bible in the time of Jesus. That book was in the Bible. That book was in the King James Bible, literally and effectively up until 1885. And it says in the 15th chapter, the 7th verse, it says, for the potter, tempering soft clay, fashions every vessel with much labor for our service. Excuse me. Yea, of the same clay, he makes both the vessels that serve for clean uses, and likewise also all such as serve to the contrary. But what is the use of either sort? The potter himself is the judge. Another book that you probably don't have in your Bible is a book called The Wisdom of Jesus, Son of Sirach. It has another name, a second name. It is called Ecclesiasticus, not Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiasticus. And the King James says, in the 33rd chapter, the 13th verse, as the clay is in the potter's hands to fashion it at his pleasure, so man is in the hand of him that made him to render to them as liketh him best. It's kind of a quirky translation. But in the Knox translation, Donald Knox, it says, clay we are in the potter's hand. It is for him who made us to dispose of us. Clay is what the potter wills it to be. And we are in our maker's hands to be dealt with at his pleasure. Today's English version says, so we are in the hands of our Creator for him to do with us as he wishes. The New Revised Standard Version says, so all are in the hand of their Maker to be given whatever he decides. Where God speaks once on a subject, we ought to give attention, but where he speaks more than once, we ought to concentrate on that we might receive the message. And I use the word we properly because, folks, as I said, you just get to listen in. The principle of this message of the potter's house is God's the boss. God initially, and he doesn't change, said, let us make man in our image. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. You have this third word, process. As one sees or goes to the potter's house, here's what he sees. He sees the potter, that's God. He sees the clay, that's us. He sees the wheel, that's the process. And the message of the potter's house, as is the message of God's word, not New Testament exclusive, but the gospel contained in the Old, is God is making us pieces of clay. Now, let me be more specific. God is making us, God is making this cracked pot over again as seems good to him. And from the beginning, it seemed good to God to make us his creation in the image of him. What is the image of him? It's the person. You want to see what God looks like on the stage of history? There is only one example, and that is Jesus Christ, who the Hebrew letter says he was the proof coin, the express image of his person. And when we on the stage of history encounter this Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we find him saying things as this: my meat is to do the will of the Father. For this cause I came, speaking of that event on Calvary. Speaking further on that event on Calvary, Jesus, praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup be passed from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I'm trying to decide whether I want to share this with you or not. I will. So, in my daily walk, and I tell you not to build this up, to build myself up, but in my daily walk, what has become a regular, a daily, not routine, but a daily conversation with God, is that simple prayer that Jesus told his disciples to pray. He never prayed it, by the way, but told his disciples to pray when he said, "When ye pray, pray like this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." And I would confess to you that there are days when circumstance for a time seems to take over. And those words of "thy will be done," they come out, I don't know how sincere I am, because in the back of my mind I'm questioning, you know, "God, do you really know what you're doing? Isaiah says, does the clay talk back to the potter? What makest thou of me? But in his loving kindness, God breaks out the compass and reminds me who the potter is and what I am, clay in his hand. And then an understanding through his whole word what his purpose is. Maybe I become a little more pliable in his hands, that he might continue to make over this vessel that was marred in his sight, to make it over as seemed good to the potter. And he does this work on the wheel. And the wheel is life. He makes the pot over again. That's what Christianity is. Christ is the model. But understand this. It is God that does the work. The best we can do is to submit ourselves to the hands of the potter. The best we can do is trust God. Without the potter, the clay is, if you would, nothing but a lump of dirt. It fashions itself to no use at all without the potter. You know, my testimony, I'm an old cracked pot. My testimony is, you know, I seem to be one of those pots, not of honor, but of dishonor. So many in the church, their testimony is, or in what's called the church, their testimony is, well, I got a hold of myself, and I might have been a cracked pot, but I've turned my life around. Look at my testimony. Look at the results. That God has produced in me. The only result I'll ever testify two of God working in me is His continual kindness and grace to keep me, that by His Spirit, in faith. And as the testimony of every Christian should be, He's working on me. He's not finished yet. I told this story some time ago about the missionary couple who'd spent 25 years on the mission field in Africa, had given their lives to the work of the Lord in delivering the gospel to those who had never heard it before. And they'd reached a stage in their life when it was time to retire, which, you know, I think is a contradictory, because I don't believe any who are called to the Lord ever retire from the service of declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, so they're returning home on a boat from Africa. And on the same boat is Teddy Roosevelt, just returning from one of his safaris. And as the boat pulls into New York past the Statue of Liberty and pulling into the harbor, into the dock, great crowds are gathered and bands are playing and streamers are flying, and all are welcoming home the President of the United States, who had just been on a vacation. And on the boat deck also was this missionary couple. And anger and dismay was growing on the husband. And his wife turned and said, "What's wrong?" And as he looked at the crowds and the cheering and the band and the streamers and the celebration, welcoming the president home, he said, "We've spent 25 years in the mission field. We gave everything we had to this work. And here we are arriving, and there's no band. There's no crowd. There's no celebration for our arrival. And the wise wife said to him, "Honey, I think you ought to go back to the cabin and talk to the Lord about this." And he did as she had suggested. And several minutes later, he came back to the deck, had a joy and peace on his face like the wife truly had never seen. And she said, "Well, honey, did you talk to the Lord about it?" And he said, "Yes, I did." "Well, how did He answer you? What did He say?" And the man said, "God said to me, 'You're not home yet.'" And though I've been at this for decades, and some of you here have been at this for decades, some not so much. But however long you have been in the way, I have a message for you. If you're hearing this in the flesh, you're not home yet. God's not finished with me. God's not finished with you. And the process through which God is bringing us is this wheel, is this wheel of life. And all the circumstance that it brings. I've been going through some things that I don't have answers to. And in the midst of this circumstance, there are times when I say to God, what are you doing? And he brings out this picture of the potter's house. I want you to write one more word in your Bible. Of this message from Jeremiah 18. And that is the prize. And I want you to write 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verse 4. But I don't want to limit this description of the prize to a verse, but put it in context of several things that Peter had to say in this first chapter of his first epistle. The third verse says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I've taught you, this is the same verse that's in Ephesians, just coincidentally 1:3, Eulogetos, the good speaking God. It's not, we don't bless God. It's a name of God, the good speaking God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again. And the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it over again as seemeth good to him. And this born again experience, this begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's the prize for us. To an inheritance, uncorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. You can write that in your Bible too. For me. Peter writing, he says, reserved in heaven for you. Your promise, who are kept. The word is guarded. God watching over. The potter never takes his eye off that which he is fashioning. Otherwise, it could go wild. He keeps his hand on that clay as he's fashioning it. Otherwise, it might reform itself into all different kinds of shapes and sizes. But in this remaking process, it says, who are kept, God keeps his eye, he keeps his hand by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're not home yet. God's not finished with us yet. We're in this process, ye greatly rejoice. And you rejoice for your own sake, because God has given you an understanding that he has begotten us again. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. God is making us over into his image, wherein we can utter in the midst of our circumstance, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. In the midst of wherein you're greatly rejoiced, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. This is being on the wheel, that the trial of your faith, that the wheel, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried in the fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter, speaking to his congregation, says, whom having not seen, he's amazed. He walked and talked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. Whom I believe God used as an example when he testified to Jesus' face, I'll never deny you. And we have the report 3 times. But even in that, there was no condemnation by Christ of Peter. Oh, the God of hope. Oh, the good speaking God, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet faithing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the and the conclusion of our faith, the conclusion of the trial of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. These were tough men that God brought to the potter's house. And toughness is an ability not to break under the pressure. God's our potter. He knows exactly how much pressure to apply without breaking, as he fashions it as seemeth good to him. The last reference to the potter's house in Scripture, in the Gospels, is that reference where in Judas had betrayed his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. And when Satan, who had entered into Judas, removed himself after having completed the dastardly deed, Judas, his conscience returned to him, and realizing what he had done, took the money and offered and wanted to give it back to the priest. The priest wouldn't take it. And so he threw it on the ground. And the priests, knowing the purpose of the use of that money, would not take it back, but went and bought a potter's field, wherein all the marred vessels were thrown. And the message is that the price that Jesus Christ paid bought up the field where all the marred vessels, where all the crackpots were thrown. And he is making us over and fashioning us as seemeth good to the potter. And that's the God School for today.